Welcome everyone here today, and those online. Pastor Anna is on vacation this week, so we hope she's getting some rest and enjoying her vacation. Please fill out the pew pads found on the end of each row so we know that you are here today. The basket offering for October will be taken today. It is for the Holly Grove Scholarship Fund. Tomorrow night, Agape Friends will meet at 6:30 at the office complex, so all ladies are invited. On Wednesday, the Senior Citizens Group meets at 10:30 at the office complex. And also worship and music is meeting at 6 on Wednesday, the 19th. Yeah, this Wednesday. Bible study will be in the office complex on Thursday at 7 p.m. On Friday night, Silly will host the Trunk or Treat party here in our parking lot from 5 to 7. So anyone that wants to provide a trunk and candy, I guess you need to be here before 5. Any other announcements that anyone knows of? So today we want to welcome Vicar Heather.
Bachelor, yeah.
But more importantly, she was Briggs. I can say that. So this is actually Paul and Cornelia Briggs' daughter that we have with us today. She is a native of Lexington and a graduate of Wake Forest Divinity School. She recently completed her internship at Epiphany Lutheran Church in Winston-Salem. She has been approved for ordination by the North Carolina Synod, and she is awaiting her first call. So we welcome you. Thank you for being with us today. So birthdays for this week, Keith Cecil, Logan Turner, Wendy Lohr, and Bob Troutman. And anniversaries, Dean and Tony Chapman, and Robert and Mandy Fritz. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And also on the first Sunday in November will be All Saints Sunday. We will be remembering those that have passed away in the past year. So we need all those names by October the 30th. We need the names along with the birth dates, date of death, and you can place those in the offering plate or contact the church office. Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand as we confess our sins to God and to one another together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is eager to forgive and who loves us beyond our days. Dear friends, together let us acknowledge our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, Redeemer and Friend. Amen. Beloved of God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are made whole. God points the way to new life in Christ who meets us on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
Night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 21. I lift up my eyes to the hills.
Where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. Behold, the keeper of Israel. The Lord watches over you. The sun will not strike you by day. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in.
From this time
the second lesson is from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away from myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering, doing the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel is from St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" It's the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise.
Have a seat. Do we have any children who'd like to come up for a children's message? Hi. Hi. Is that your brother? So I'm a guest with you guys today. My name is Vicar Heather. Hi. Can you tell me your names real quick? Andrew?
Owen.
Can you tell me your name? You don't have to. Yeah, whisper it. Okay, that's fine. And what's your name?
Calvin.
Well, y'all, thanks for having me. Do any of you go to school? Do any of you go to school? You go to school? Do you ever forget to look at your homework to see what you have to do for the next day? Do you ever forget your homework? Well, guess what? This pastor forgot her homework a little bit. And so when I got here, it was a surprise that we were going to get to do a children's sermon. So I'm winging it, okay? But I want you to listen, because I told a story earlier from the Gospel of Luke, one of our gospel writers. And Luke tells this story, or in the book Jesus tells a story, about a woman who's a persistent widow. Do you know what a widow is? What's widow, Calvin?
Someone
whose spouse, husband has died. And so in that time, it was hard for widows to find the support they needed. Sometimes they had trouble finding a place to live. Sometimes they had trouble finding food. Sometimes they had trouble finding people that were being fair to them. And so it was the church's job to take care of widows and orphans and all kinds of people, right? But this widow was not getting the care that she needed. They were not treating her fairly, okay? And so she goes to this one person who's supposed to be able to help her over and over and over. And she says, she's asking for help for the situation that she's in. We don't know what that is. Very vague parable telling from Jesus today. But she asks over and over and over. And finally the judge is like, look, whatever. If you will stop bothering me, I will give you what you want. And at the beginning of the story, Jesus tells us that what the widow's doing is like a way to pray, right? And so I think we often think about praying as something we do in church, and we fold our hands, and we put our heads down, and we're very quiet about it. But sometimes the way to pray is by doing something. Sometimes the way to pray is by helping other people. Sometimes the way to pray is by asking people very sincerely, very honestly, for what you need, right? So I want you to stand up for a second. You see all these people, stand up, come on, stand up. You see all these people out here? All of these people are here to help you learn how to pray. And by doing that, they will help you learn how to grow in this church and will help you learn how to pray out in the world with other people that need help. Do you guys agree to that? Is that your job? Right? Okay, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for stories that teach us lessons. Help us to pray in our words, in our actions, and in our hearts. Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. You go sit down. Are you going to preach? Will you pray with me again? Holy God, may the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts be good and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you have ever doubted that the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, had a sense of humor, I would point you to this parable. It may not seem funny to us because we are not reading it in Greek and we are not listening to it on a dusty road told to us by Jesus. But one can imagine the first listeners of this parable laughing as Jesus tells the tale of the widow and the judge. See, Jesus invites the listeners to imagine a judge. Today we might think of this person in a position of power like a politician or a corporate executive, maybe some judges, with real power and influence, who's being annoyed by this one widow who keeps on coming to him seeking justice. In the cartoon version, I can almost see the judge twirling his villain's mustache as he admits that he does not fear God or respect people. The judge laments that he will give her justice only because she is annoying him, not because he knows it's the right thing to do. And according to my friends who are Greek scholars, this is a little bit funnier in Greek, because the Greek translation actually says that she might punch him in the eye rather than wear him out. So I guess we could do better with that. So the judge is afraid of this little old lady, and that is funny for our early listeners. And for those who are familiar with the Hebrew scripture, the judge's lack of action is simply appalling. In biblical texts, widows are counted among the most destitute of society's members, alongside with other vulnerable groups such as the poor, orphans, and resident aliens. Because of the precarious social and economic position of such groups, biblical texts, Genesis through Revelation, make provision for them. Through the teachings of the law and the prophets, the gospels, the letters, everything helping to ensure that they do not fall victim to poverty and exploitation. And we know from other stories and other teachings that widows at the time had no power or status. They were dependent on the charity of others or left to tag along with family members who would take them in sometimes. And that's one thing that we know about widows. But what we also know about the biblical widows is that they are powerful people, bringers of truth, protectors, loyal, and prophetic. Think about them. Naomi and Ruth, widowed and clinging to each other, made their way to a foreign land and started their lives anew. Chapter 2 of Luke, the widow and prophet Anna testifies with the Christ child in her arms that he has arrived and her face shone with the light of God. The widow Abigail, the book of brought peace and new life to the kingdom of David after she was widowed. The widow Tamar fought for her own survival and showed loyalty to her family and to God after she was brutally harmed. The widows in our scriptures are not only to be protected and assisted, they are to be heard. And this widow, clamoring for justice, is another in the long line of the poorest and least privileged, bringing God's work and word to our attention, reminding us that it is our duty and our joy and our responsibility to provide justice, liberation, and safety to those who find themselves outside of society's protection. It is our duty as people of God to hear God's cry for justice in the cries of those who suffer today. God's voice is the voice of the marginalized. God is found in this parable in the widow's persistence. The cry for God is always for justice, and we hear the voices of the widow and the orphan and the prisoner and the immigrant and the poor all calling out with Jesus' voice to care, to serve, to love our neighbors, to remain in love with God's law. The power of this parable comes from the most unlikely source, from the widow herself. The person that society has told us to disregard, who we have told must be a beggar, Jesus tells us to listen to respect, honor, love, and give justice to her. Friends, in God's world, the most powerful messages are often brought to us by the most unlikely people. We remember again the reluctant prophet Jonah, who literally threw a temper tantrum and jumped into a fish to avoid his job. We remember the unexpected young Mary who was asked to perform a miracle and did so beautifully. And we remember the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Indeed, all these unlikely places. It is the bold cries of the marginalized that bring us our greatest truths. It is the justice seeking of the poor that knocks on our own doors and ask for mercy. It is the demands of those on the margins that Jesus is calling us to answer and make a new way for. And while we sometimes too get irritated with the requests, the constant demands for justice and mercy, we could try to act with a better heart than the judge in this tale. We can take to heart the example of the widow praying when it comes to acting out Jesus' commandments. So it seems instructive and extraordinary to me that Jesus is showing us not only the power of the widow's plea, but that he frames it as a prayer. And the widow's inclination to demand what she is due, the widow's need to seek justice constantly and persistently, is her prayer that leads to more justice and more freedom for her, more love for neighbor and for God for the rest of us. And so the widow prays her prayers on her feet as she visits the judge over and over and over. The widow's prayer was heard as she crunched on the gravel on the road to the judge's door. Her prayer was heard as she knocked on his door, as her voice rose in frustration. Her prayer was heard as she muttered her disappointment on her way home after being rejected again. Her prayer was heard again as she finally gave thanks for her case being solved. Her life was that prayer for justice. A prayer life that is felt in our bones, in our actions, a prayer that moves us physically and emotionally, a prayer that is kept in our hearts as we head to hear a verdict on our health, the safety of a loved one, a prayer that marches our kids to school even in dangerous days, a prayer that demands action from those in power even when we feel powerless. That is the breaking through of God's kingdom. That is the gospel of Christ Jesus that we can enact. And when we listen for cries for justice, let us understand that those cries are prayers to a faithful and merciful God. When we are tired of hearing the stories of poverty and injustice, let us invite ourselves to pray alongside those whose cries punctuate our streets. When we are walking our longest roads with our loved ones in illness, in life transitions, in fear or in hope, let our prayers be glasses of water at bedsides and midnight runs to drugstores. Let our prayers bring us closer together. Let us be soft to the pain of the world when we could be hard. And when our prayers are unanswered, when the test results are bad, or there is another shooting, a new war, another environmental disaster, when our lives are in turmoil personally, or whatever is on your exhaustive or exhausting prayer list, know this, that God is right there with you, right there in the worst of it, in all of it. God has been with us in our suffering since the beginning and will be here today. Jesus anticipates our frustration when he asks at the end of today's text if anyone will still have faith when he returns. If the unanswered prayers will turn us away from God's love. But no, our prayers, our continued cries for justice and for mercy, for help, are necessary. They are heard. They are the way we strengthen our faith against the ills of this world. They are our source. By praying continually, we enact the faith that God is with us and that God's world is coming. God's will be done. And because we live in that hope and certainty that our cries will be heard, we live with God's kingdom all around us already. So friends, we must pray always. We must pray with our feet and with our voices and our hands. Our prayers are actions that help us work for the justice and mercy that Christ is calling us to. These prayers bring us confidence and hope in the power of God's promises, that they will be fulfilled, that goodness is on the horizon. God's help and hope are for all of you. God keeps your life. God's mercy is yours to have and to give others. May your persistent prayers bring mercy and justice to all who seek. These are our constant prayers in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
in gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. For all the baptized, that they become skilled in compassion and grace and equipped to share the good news with all, grant your followers persistence in proclamation and prayer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For air and sky, clouds and sun, that they provide rain to parched land and relief to flooded ground, renew and restore our polluted atmosphere and empower us to be worthy stewards of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For judges, juries, and all who work in the judicial system, that they desire wisdom, seek truth, rule with fairness, and have the courage to do what is right. Eliminate oppression and injustice in our criminal justice system. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all who are lonely, ill, or grief-stricken, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Bonnie, Boyd, Chip, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, Pastor Anna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those in our congregation and community engaged in advocacy work, that with persistence of the widow, they lift their voices in seeking justice on behalf of others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those who have taught us faith and now rest in your heavenly peace, that we remember and give thanks for these saints who shared the gospel through word and deed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With grateful hearts we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessings, and make us ready to share with all in need, through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen.
Continue with the service for the thanksgiving for the word. I invite you to sit or stand as you are comfortable through this part of the service. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, for your word that called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
God, send your spirit of truth, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen.
We continue by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.